www.revolutionmedia.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Welcome to Raven Stars Witching Hour. I am your host and head witch, Miss Solaris Blue Raven, at the helm this evening. I want to give a shout out to everybody here at Revolution Radio, staff, producers, listeners, chat room, and thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We are 100% listener supported, so if you like what you're hearing, click the donate button. We certainly appreciate any support you can give us here at Revolution Radio. You're listening to Studio A, and everybody's doing groovy in the hippy-dippy world of weird. I have a wonderful guest for you all tonight. I have Dave Scorpio joining me tonight. Dave Scorpio has worked as a professional artist and teacher for the last 25 years. His work is being displayed in galleries in La Jolla, Palm Springs, and San Francisco. His work would be classified as visionary and realistic, with a spiritual aspect to every painting, often incorporating another dreamlike dimension merging with the one you're currently living in. Dave has been researching conspiracies, UFOs, and the occult for nearly 30 years, and Dave is a native Californian, but currently, well, actually, you're back in California now, so... Oh, I'm so sorry. But anyways, he has Operation Scorpio, which is on Revolution Radio every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and also with Giuseppe, Perfect Triangle, I believe, and you can fill us in on all the other groovy details here. So please welcome Dave Scorpio to the show this evening. Good evening and welcome.
Hello, Solaris. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it and looking forward to our little chat.
Me too. I love hearing your shows. And, yeah, shout out over there to Giuseppe. I know he's doing some moving, so yeah, happy to have you back on over here whenever you feel like it. You can just give us a ring. So yeah, so what's going on with you?
Well, trying to readjust to life in the United States. It's been a little bit of a culture shock, but doing pretty well overall. You know, I've been doing a series of murals for this guy that owns a winery up in the mountains out here, and so that's been going well, but you know, he's like an ex-military guy, so he has a certain view of the world that is interesting, let's say. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I love murals. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's it's been quite a bit of work, but mm-hmm. I'm enjoying it.
Nice. Well, that's something different than, you know, than I know you all dive into the conspiracy, which isn't conspiracy anymore, but the weird that's been going on here on the timeline. So it is nice to kind of dial into a different area and use your abilities and be more creative.
Yeah, you know, finding a creative outlet in this world is pretty important, you know, and there's a lot of different ways to do that. But, you know, I think every human is actually creative. We've just been, most people have been taught that they're not through conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a mess. There's no doubt about that one. Yeah, so how has California changed? I mean, is it really bad or?
Well, you know, years ago, San Diego was like a really charming, like a sort of like a little big city in a way. And now it's essentially merged with Los Angeles. It's really no difference. It's one giant Metroplex shopping mall, essentially.
Nice.
If it wasn't for Camp Pendleton, it would be really, the two cities would have literally merged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of good people here and stuff. And I'm actually pretty surprised at how many people seem to have some idea that something ain't right, you know, in reality right now.
Mm-hmm.
The normies seem to be, waking up a little bit, you know, to some degree. So, that, you know, that's a good sign to me. And so I'm here for now, and we'll see what happens.
Well, I think all of us are looking at our escape route. You know, we talked about that a little bit before we went live. And, you know, I have my own ideas of beyond Elon Musk and his stuff, you know, cosmic gateways, calibration to fields, you know, time traveling beyond the illusion of space-time, and just going for a different space-time configuration altogether. But that's a different sector in a sense. But, you know, what I would like to talk about, I know there's so much happening here in this world, and as we've been discussing on and off through texting here and there, is this whole idea behind what's happening in illusion of with this Psi, first with the Psi virus. Then the Psi virus has miraculously gone away, and now we have something going on with Russia and Ukraine, which in my opinion is just another program running. It's just another activation of a sequencing connected to various things. And I kind of want like your feedback. I know you all discuss this on your shows, but I kind of wanted to see where you're at insofar as what's the pulse feel like to you with this situation?
Well, you know, I'm really not getting caught up in the dichotomy of who's the good guy and who's the bad guy. What mm-hmm. strikes me the most here, Solaris, is the timing, you know, just at the very moment that, you know, COVID sort of was coming unraveled, let's say, you know, like we had 2 years of, you know, oh my God, you're going to die if you don't get the shot. You know, and now it's like, hey, it's a bad case of the sniffles. We got to learn to deal with it. No big deal.
Right.
You know, at that very moment, then this the new, you know, conflict, this new emergency happens. And, you know, quite a bit of it looks scripted, even though, you know, on a certain level, there's no question the Russians certainly have a legitimate beef. You know, NATO has been aggressive for the last, 15 years, five years, well, actually more than that, five waves of NATO expansion. And now they're trying to say that Ukraine is part of Europe. You know, so it's pretty far off base if you look at the history of things.
It is. Well, they're staking territory. It's like this global mapping system that's going on right now, and I agree. And it's interesting when you look at this, now all of a sudden the Psi virus doesn't have any value. What I find interesting is they're trying to go after him for war crimes, and when in fact they never went after the first strike connected to the bioweapon, which was released that literally is a war crime. So once again here, you know, this whole scenario is a joke and a half when you look at it.
Oh, that's so true, and it's just hypocrisy on display on so many different levels, Solaris. You know, we had 20 years of first strikes by America in the Middle East, really for no provocation, all based on a conspiracy theory, you know, that somehow, you know, Iraq had something to do with 9/11 and that, you know, somehow some crazy Muslim terrorists crashed two airplanes and then three buildings fell down. You know, that's a pretty bizarre conspiracy theory in my book.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. There's no doubt about it. Well, I find that this whole sequence, from what I've looked at, and I'm not trying to dive into it too much because I've been observing it, but trying not to get wrapped up in it because I realize it's a distraction. Whenever they tell us to go over there and focus on this, it's obviously there's something else going on. So I'm looking at, the aerial warfare is really big. I've always mentioned this on my show anyways, but the idea behind that would be just the calibrating of people and their collectives, psychologically influencing, and we know that's been happening for the past 2 years. And now we have what's going on with these guys, which in my opinion are completely compromised psychologically, and even Russia and Ukraine, in my opinion. So it's an interesting scenario. And the one thing that I kind of texted you, and I don't know where you're at with this research, because I'm not really I have not researched this quite a bit, but the Fatima Third Secret is very interesting how it correlates to supposedly, or this whole sequencing connects to that particular Russia and Ukraine. So I don't know what your thoughts are on this. And like I said, this isn't really my area, but I have been kind of looking at that a little bit.
Yeah, that's a fascinating subject, Fatima. You know, back in the day, I used to listen to Father Malachi Martin on Art Bell's show. Mm-hmm. He was a regular guest, and a lot of interesting information there. You know, it seems to me that this Fatima event, really, in a lot of ways, it looks like some kind of alien intervention that happened at that. What's your thought on it?
Well, what's interesting, I get the extraterrestrial completely because we're connected to this celestial design work. What I'm looking at is more of a mankind's version of what's happened insofar as what technologies were available at that time when this vision supposedly occurred. What also comes to mind is the fact that the Vatican's been keeping it, quote-unquote, secret in the illusion of secrecy and not exposing what it is insofar as what people should be watching for. I find that to be kind of a red flag right there. But, yeah, there's definitely some type of whether it's an intervention based on consciousness, the spirit of communication, or it's a true God, energetic, or something even extraterrestrial and divine. So, yeah, I think it could be a lot of different things. But I find that I was looking through and seeing, you know, what was Tesla, what was Nikola Tesla there working on at that timeline, and there's all kinds of things going on. You know, there's a pattern to all this. And what I'm trying to say is that from what I've seen, I'm looking at the pattern of mankind, what they've been doing on the timelines, what they've been inventing, what they've been creating, and everything that they've been storing as far as a database of information that they can utilize as their own blueprint for the future. And it seems to me like that's part of it. So I'm trying not to be long-winded about it. But, you know, to me, even Revelations is a blueprint. You know, it's a design work that they can use as a weapon against the masses.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, absolutely. It is a blueprint. That's a fascinating take on this. Do you think Tesla is connected to the events in Fatima? Because he was
fairly
close. Well,
his tower was up. If I'm not mistaken, I have to double check all this and, you know, if you guys in the chat hear about it. But it seems to me that there was some of his technology afoot at the time. You know, who knows? I'd have to really look at it on a hardcore level and maybe even remote view it. But I'll tell you, and I think I actually am going to look into it on a more remote level because I just started looking at this kind of like today because of some of the stuff going on with the Ukraine and Russia. But for some reason, that's a big deal to the Vatican, and I'm looking at the whole timeline now and how the Jesuits are always in control to some degree when it comes down to what the prophecy of the world is supposed to be or what they want it to be. Let's put it that way.
Wow, that's interesting. You know, it's interesting. Tesla's father worked for the Vatican Library. So it's interesting. Tesla grew up sort of hanging out at the library while his dad was at work, and just he was able to sort of just roam the shelves of the Vatican Library as a young man. Mm-hmm. So I've always found that to be fascinating.
That is interesting. And to me, that's another pattern, isn't it? It's another piece of the puzzle, isn't it? I don't know. Maybe it's my imagination. But I find that there's no such thing as coincidence to this, right?
Right. So yeah.
It's all going into the same direction. This is my point. It's like, isn't it interesting? So what are the chances, right? What are the chances of all this stuff happening? You know, divine intervention or just a path working or maybe part of their blueprint before they showed up here? Who knows? I just find it interesting. And that's what I'm looking at. And that's what they look at, too, by the way, these areas and these, you know, one percenters, this, that, and the other. They're looking at the patterns just like we are. We're following the patterns and the tracking systems accordingly. And what I also look at is because we're looking at timeline sequencing, you know, how they're always trying to go backwards, build back. We go fast forward. We go in a different spectrum. So they're like worlds colliding right now. What bothers me the most is the fact that people are so conditioned to be complacently lied to and they're accepting it so easily. That, to me, is mind-blowing.
That's true. You know, people have been sort of trained not to think and instead listen to some expert, you know, on TV with a fancy suit on that's going to tell you what to think. And we've had since television became popular in the 1950s, that's sort of been the ultimate method of mass control has been the television. And now it's fully weaponized, you know, especially mm-hmm. when you look at what passes for news nowadays. You know, I call it the enemy war transmissions known as the mainstream media, because that's really what it amounts to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, it seems to be like it's all going to get shut down at some point, and we'll see what happens. You know what I find interesting is the witch hunt And like I said, you know, there's a dark side to each equation, and there's a dark side to Russia, there's a dark side to the Ukraine. But to me, there's something happening underneath it all. And that's something that I'm looking at when it comes down to what they're using as propaganda to get everybody to polarize against one area and become, you know, that's their nemesis now. So the boogeyman now is Russia, which I find very interesting. And I don't think it's a coincidence at all.
Well, no, and it sort of reaches back into the political DNA of America in a lot of ways, you know, with the Cold War and the commies and, you know, it's just strange how the tables have been turned to some degree because, you know, America has sort of been communized in so many ways in recent years. And, you know, I'm just amazed at this when you look at the players, you know, NATO is a completely useless organization. There's no reason it should even be in existence. And they've ginned up this war for a variety of reasons. And, yeah, we got a new boogeyman, a new WWF super villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really seems that way. Well, I'm not playing the game, and I'm sure many people are not playing it, you know, as a neutral, positive stance. I see what's going on. I know you all do. I know the station does. And I find it interesting how this this propaganda program is really running rampant. But, you know, another thing I'm looking at is they're looking at the Ukrainians as, oh, look, they're fighting for their freedom and they're patriotic and they love their country. Well, isn't that what the American spirit is? I mean, that's what we've been doing. And, of course, the people that are standing up for the freedom of America and our Constitution are called terrorists. What the hypocrisy that's going on in District of Columbia, or District of Criminals, as Giuseppe likes to say. I mean, it's hysterical in a sense, right? Because we have all this hypocrisy going on against the American people, but yet they're praising what's going on with the Ukrainians and how they're so patriotic and this, that, and the other. So I find it very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting how like they're literally handing out guns, AK-47s.
Yeah. And they're
to
trying
citizens.
To take ours.
And that's wonderful, but, you know, it's dangerous in America. It's right. Just funny how, you know, they can kind of shift the facts and the narrative around to however they need to fit their narrative. You know,
oh, yeah. That's
very just fluid.
Well, it's just two-faced. And the thing is that these people are phonies, and we all know it. I mean, I know I'm talking preaching to the choir here, but it is interesting to watch the deception game being played out. And so many people are so innocent. I guess they're either naive or just not informed. I don't know exactly what it is, but they believe every word that they say. And whether it's mainstream media or people in district of that area anyplace else, it just seems to me like, you know, don't trust them, don't believe any of them, not one of them. And I don't care what country it is. I mean, you can't trust anybody's information like that.
Well, especially when war starts. Mm-hmm. What's the old saying? The first victim of war is truth, something like that.
Right. And then this war has been going on for a long time. And so this is just a physical, you know, occupation in the sense of distraction. Once again, just distracting everybody's psyche. And I still think, man, when they're telling you to look that way, well, look at the skies, watch what they're doing. I've noticed, like I said before, there's been weird air traffic around me, different flight trajectories and patterns that I've noticed, and not just in this neighborhood, but in other areas with this 5G switch and a lot of other things that are happening with surveilling. So I think it's all something else is happening behind the scenery that people aren't paying attention to. And I kind of wanted your feedback in a sense of what do you think of the future. Do you think Russia would become a threat? Do you think Putin would eventually launch a few nukes, real nukes, or do you think it's just propaganda?
Oh, I think it's propaganda entirely. Mm-hmm. I think, first of all, I think the Russians and the Ukrainians ought to work it out on their own. I think everyone else should stay out of it, and there wouldn't be any real problems. I think it would be over pretty quick, and they'd solve the problem amongst themselves. And, no, I think, you know, I think Russia doesn't want the West encroaching on their border. I mean, they literally have NATO creeping onto their border when they were promised, you know, NATO wouldn't move one inch to the east back when the Soviet Union first fell apart. So, no, I don't see that at all. I think, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can look at this. There's a lot of different levels to this as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, what I'm kind of interested in is what is really going on. We, you know, we're familiar with the narrative and, you know, the Russians have some legitimate beefs and, but what is the real, what do you think the real, you know, root cause of what's going on here? Like, mm-hmm. What's the hidden hand at work here? What do you think is really going on?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I see it as staking of territory. Obviously, it's just something that the U.S. wants to keep their claws in, among other areas. But, and I think you're right about Russia not wanting any of that, you know, any nukes on their back door or anything like that. I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. in a sense, but there's something else underlying behind the scenery here. I really think it's the design work is to take down Russia, completely take it down and neutralize it to a point where it has no capabilities in a sense of being able to threaten the agenda of the New World Order. At least that's what it looks like to me. I could be wrong, but in my opinion, it just seems that way. It seems like they're a threat on various levels to the agenda that they want to create by the 2030 agenda. So this is just one of the ways of trying to create some kind of a blueprint. So, you know, I'm looking at it further, but I'm trying not to get too wrapped up into it. That's why I was looking at the Fatima, because to me it just was interesting how they cued into Russia and Ukraine for part of this so-called secret, the third secret or whatever secret. And I find that why that area, you know, that's the one area they seem to think that has, I forget their terminology, and maybe you know more about it than I do, but it just seems like that's something that they want to, I would call it more of a transmutation in a sense of alchemically changing the body of that particular area.
Well, yeah, there's a couple of interesting things at play here. I think for one thing, you know, it's odd that Ukraine pretty much is the exact same borders as ancient Khazaria. Mm-hmm. That's something that's interesting to note. And I think the other thing is that, you know, all of the Eastern Bloc countries and Russia have not been, you know, indoctrinated and propagandized to the proper, let's say, you know, New World Order mindset that the West has. And I think that's what's at play here, too, is they want, you know, everybody around the world thinking the same way, believing the same things, mm-hmm. Behaving the same way. And, you know, so that's why they're trying to say that Ukraine is part of Russia when it's part of Europe, when, of course, you know, it's never been part of Europe. It's always been mm-hmm. part of Russia and right. culturally speaking as well. So, yeah, it does seem one of the big plays here is sort of creating this monoculture. And, mm-hmm. I think, you know, Putin has some good things and some bad things, but he has sort of kept some basic, you know, values that Russians have right. had for a long time. And that's right. a bad thing for the world, New World Order.
No, I agree. And that's the whole idea. Yeah, it's one people, one pulse. In a sense, that's their mentality. But the pulse is a dead pulse when you're looking at their No World Order agenda, in my opinion. I believe in unique and individual, but the strangeness that's going on in the psychologically damaged people that are operating on the timeline is just inexcusable. And that's the word I was thinking of is the consecration, they called it, if I'm not mistaken, in that Fatima. It was a consecration of Russia, however you want to term, you know, whatever terminology you want to use of that. But it does seem like a cleansing, purification, and in some level, or on some level, for whatever reason, they want to break that down and create a neutralization to their beliefs and their structure. And I find that, yeah, it's part of this absorption into the New World agenda, which has no value. And what's really interesting, and you know, we're talking about Malachi Martin, which I really like too. If you talk about exorcism, for example, and how it can only be, you can only be an exorcist through the Catholic Church. They're the only ones who have the so-called ability to do so, which I don't believe that in any formula, but that's their claim, is that they are the ones who have the authority. And this is this thing that I see with them. It's more about the authority to do whatever the hell they want to do with all the access to all the information. And they're right there controlling and manipulating on various levels. And I don't think people realize how much power they have and how much they've been causing interruptions when it comes down to the evolution of mankind on this world, because I believe they have been interfering quite a bit.
The Catholic Church?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No question. Do you know, has the third secret of Fatima ever been revealed or fully or not? I'm not clear on that.
I'm aware of. Yeah, I was even the Art Bell. I mean, from what I understand with that one episode with Malachi Martin, he kind of alluded to something that was similar, but it wasn't the exact one from what I understand. So
right.
I think Art Bell read something off that was like he was trying to get his impression of what it was. And he said to some degree that he thought some of the data was on track, but he wouldn't give any, you know, he's obviously sworn to secrecy at the time. So wasn't able to communicate anything. But, yeah, it's interesting. So I guess not. But, you know, this is something I haven't honed in on. I mean, I wasn't trying to look for it. It just sort of just showed up today when I was thinking about all the stuff going on out there. So I'm going to remote it. I'm going to see if I get any data codes for it, and I'll let you know.
Oh, I'd love to hear about that because it's a fascinating subject on a lot of different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, it's good to question what was this apparition, this sort of shiny, you know, object that people thought was the sun. You know, the official story is people thought that the sun was actually moving around in the sky and all these strange, you know, like a clock, you know, back and mm-hmm. forth and moving in all these strange gyrations and actually coming close to the surface. and then going back up in the sky. And, you know, the crowd there, there was quite a, you know, hundreds of thousands of people there, apparently. And some of the people were actually burned from this. And you could explain that as, you know, radiation from some kind of craft or right. technology. I don't know. I mean, but there's no question that the people who were there really saw something extraordinary. And, mm-hmm. you know, so.
I agree. And it's interesting, you know, if you look at the purity of mankind and the heart of mankind, it's always, in my opinion, I believe they're pure. I really do. I believe they get compromised psychologically and programmed and socially engineered, just like people who believe in the Catholic Church. I mean, there are beautiful prayers associated. I've said this a billion times over. The prayers are wonderful. And there's so much there that's positive, but you have a co-opted organization that has hijacked that area to such a degree it's becoming contaminated, and they're losing that power, that shield they had is no more. And what you're describing, I think, is interesting, because to me it can be associated with UFO, stargates, a portal perhaps. If it's really truly correlated with the sun, then that, in my opinion, you know, knowing that the sun is a stargate to some degree, that would activate. That sounds like a stargate activation to some degree, or a portal activation. So anything goes at this point. I'm just kind of looking at similar timelines and checking to see what was going on at the time. Was there anything important Tesla was working on, or something that we didn't look at, you know?
Yeah, you know, Tesla's a fascinating subject in so many ways. And I'd really like to see if you find a connection between those two events, because mm-hmm. I don't know that there's anyone else that's actually tried to make that connection. So that's fascinating. And, you know, Tesla believed in the ether, and that was sort of the whole basis of where he went with his science. And of course, you know, modern physics says there's no ether, and it was really Einstein that sort of was instrumental in that. And so it's very strange that, you know, this belief in the ether is a whole different cosmological view of how the universe is constructed, because the ether is like this invisible glue, so to speak, mm-hmm. this infinite energy that holds everything together in the world.
Right, like the Force out of Star Wars, but of course they copy that too. But yeah, in my opinion, you know, the ether is the invisible. So it's tangible, it's accessible if you know how to get in. But we are there. Our prana, our universal life force energy, in my opinion, is all correlated to the ether to some degree, and that zero point is also connected. And that's why I look at the portals, the access points, you know, stargates. And Nikola Tesla was right on. This is another, I love Tesla, and we've had these discussions before, but he was one of my favorites. I think he's my all-time favorite. If I could meet with anybody on a world, would be with him, just to pick his brain and talk to him, because I find that his data was so important to our world, and yet it was so weaponized, and then he was discredited to such a degree. That's very unfortunate that they went that route. They didn't have to, you know.
Well, yeah, and, you know, if his technology had been open to the world, we'd have free energy back at, right. before the turn of the 20th century.
Well, we could do that now. I mean, we can easily just say, hey, we're going zero point. Okay, let's just take it all down. I think they're trying to create their version. You know, with this 2030 agenda, they're trying to create, you know, they don't want everybody on the fuel, gasoline, this, that, and the other. They want everybody on electric for whatever reason. I have no idea, because it's foolish. But, you know, we could easily go that route. We could go zero point, we go ether, and it wouldn't be a problem. But nobody would make any money. Nobody would be rich anymore. You know, these super, super wealthy people, they've acquired their money, chances are, through a lot of this technology to some degree. So looking at that. But, you know, I think it's all coming to a head. I think it's all coming to an end. The saddest part is watching people be so brainwashed at the very eclipse of this moment. They have to have their wits about them. And I'm telling you, these people don't. And that's very concerning to me.
Yeah, yeah. And really, the whole paradigm of control is sort of based on the illusion of scarcity. And mm-hmm. once you realize that, you know, free energy is actually infinite, it's everywhere, and it's, mm-hmm. you know, accessible at any point, and that would change people's perception of reality overnight. And of course, even, you know, oil and gas are close to infinite, given that if you look at the abiotic oil theory, that, you know, mm-hmm. it's produced within the earth from a chemical reaction by the, you know, deep inside the earth, and that it's mm-hmm. always being produced.
Right. Yeah, well, that's true. And I think we might have had this discussion. It's almost like deja vu when I talk to you, because I know we go into different realms. But I think it was you and some other people who were discussing even some of the oil wells, how they actually fill up later on. They actually fill up again, the same location. So if they go dry, they'll actually fill up at some point, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely. And one of the secrets of the Russian oil and gas, and I think one of the reasons why Russian oil gas is being demonized, is that the Russians dug the deepest wells in the world you know, that's where all this basically unlimited gas is coming from that they were going to pump into Europe. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, you can do that anywhere in the world. And they don't want us to know that. Instead, we're, you know, being led to think about many other things other than there's so many fascinating things going on beneath the earth. And that's mm-hmm. just one of them.
Yeah, and also above us, too. That's another yes. thing about dominating the space and using this low Earth orbit and all their little technologies. But we have the ability to traverse the galactic highways we've talked about, and I know that. And it's not as hard as people think it is. I mean, you have to really kind of get out of the box and the programs and what they've been showing you and force-feeding you for since you were a kid. But it really is just as simple as walking from one room to the next and keeping your body intact. And I'm telling you, I know I'm right. And I find it very interesting how we're going through these loops and these, you know, little, everybody's jumping around like a circus, and it doesn't have to be this way. It never had to be this way. And they're still pushing it. They're still pushing the snake oil. They're still pushing the program and the propaganda, and nothing is changing. You know, they're still having their little quote unquote pissing matches. So, you know, it's really interesting to watch us. And I think that's why it's like, you know, what do you do in a situation like this? We're in a different universe. We might be here, but we're walking in a different state of consciousness. We're in a different orbit. And this is not cohesive to who we are as multidimensional beings. It's just not. So, and everybody's just like, there, oh, everybody pray for this. Everybody's all ready to have their flags and their protests. I'm like, what are they? Do they shop ahead of time? I mean, what's going on? Seriously? I mean, it's don't get me started with this crap because it's
well, it's becoming painfully obvious that, you know, waving a flag and having a peaceful protest isn't going to do much.
You know, it's not going to do anything. Get yourself a tank.
No, it's not.
That's
it's
what's
just
gonna do
it's
something.
A nice. Way to make you think you're doing something. And, right. you know, you talked about intergalactic travel. The idea that you're going to climb in a rocket ship and fly off to a distant planet is absurd. You know, it has to be a dimensional shift kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bob Lazar, I think his story was real. He talked yeah. about the aliens would essentially just fold the two points of space together and you just, boom, you're there instantly, mm-hmm. essentially.
That makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, changing everything. Well, it's like time traveling in the illusion of space-time, so it makes sense to me. And then I look at the origins, too, our cosmic origins, our celestial coordinates connected to that, and, of course, which wasn't – our origins aren't from here originally. And then you look at the moon, too, which, of course, is its own little device and its own little formula. And if I'm not mistaken, something crashed into it. I think it was a Chinese rocket or some piece of it or something. I have to double-check that if anybody knows. You might know. But it just happened, like, less than a day ago. So something crashed into the moon.
Yeah, I think it was some Elon Musk satellite or
something.
Well,
I thought it was
that.
Then they said I thought it was a Chinese piece of a Chinese rocket or something. I'll double check it. But yeah, I mean, all this kind of how coincidental. Once again, are you looking at is that what they're giving everybody as the storyboard, or is there something else behind the scenery? And I'm not conspiracy like, oh, there's got to be something else. I'm just saying, you know, don't expect the truth from these guys. And even if they're telling you that that's what it is, it's obviously something else. And the first thing that comes to mind is sanitization whenever they start nailing anything. Whenever there's anything hitting any object like the moon, I immediately look at sanitization of the target. So it's just me. But
what do you mean? Explain that, would you?
Sanitization of artifacts, sanitization of something that was there they don't want people to see. It can be on various levels, yeah. So that's what I was looking at, the trajectory, how it got in over there, what's going on with that. We'll see. I'll double check. And like I said, I'm just rambling on about some stuff that I've noticed the past 24 hours. But to me, you know, my wheels don't stop spinning.
Well, it's weird that this object is hitting, of course, the dark side of the moon, the far side of the moon, so mm-hmm. nobody can see it.
You know? Well, not us anyway. But yeah.
Right. No, right. Yeah.
But they know. That's what I mean. They know what they're doing. And I just find that there's too much happening here. There's too much obscured, and people are too distracted right now. When we could be focusing on something way, way different, much more advanced in civilization than this crazy that's going on here. So, yeah, the idea behind the nuclear war, and I thought to myself, you know, for me, it's like I think that would be the more humane thing to do. I know this sounds terrible, but when you're looking at people just being tortured or murdered or remotely harassed, and where I've been with covert warfare, believe me, I know the ugliness of how you can torture somebody and never kill them. And I find that nuclear war is more compassionate than you realize if you're right there in the target zone. And I know I'm not promoting nuclear war. I'm just saying that you'd be surprised that when you look at the trajectory of mankind and what they've been doing to torture and harm and murder each other, it's a slow kill, man. And it's disgusting. It needs to end, but these people are never going to end anything. Until they get ended, so.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Until these people are taken out of the position they're in, this will not end. And the question is, how long has this sort of, you know, cult been running things? I'm curious about how far back you think that goes.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, it seems to me like I don't think it's been that as far as people think it is. I know we had ancient civilizations prior to this, or, you know, the current civilization here, advanced technologies and more advanced in consciousness. And in my opinion, I believe a lot of them are off planet. They just kind of went to another dimension, not necessarily died, but they just phase shifted, bilocated, or decided to go to a different space time. I mean, that's highly probable. When I look and see what's going on here, I think this is more of a newbies. They seem like newbies to me, like not that old in a sense of just look at America, for example, a prime example of how far down the sewer they've gone since we're really a young country in the illusion of, and look how bad things have gotten. So you're looking at that origin. These aren't extraterrestrial people. These are people that have been compromised, more than likely psychologically damaged, and connected to this 1% group of people who have literally stolen technology templates and patents for years and decades to a point where they have so much money they don't know what to do with it anymore. They can literally buy the world and pay people off, and now they're having this little playboard, and they're creating this whole arena. They've got everybody swept into the game board, and everybody's just playing along with it. And it's just like, kick it away, you know, destroy the game board, and let's start getting rid of this crap now. So I don't think that answers your question, but in my opinion, it's not that old.
Well,
it's not that old.
Have you looked into the concept of Tartaria or the mud flood? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know enough about that. I know that's Mr. Rowe's area. Yeah, I know he's in the chat. You ever want to hop in, Mr. Rowe? But yeah, that is so cool in a sense of, I'm not sure about that, but I don't discount anything, you know. We have ancient civilizations that have been hidden from us. We're not from here. I don't care what people say. I know you think you're humans, and you can say that all you want, but we're celestial beings in biosuits and star bodies. We come from the stars. We go home to the stars. We've lived on multiple worlds, multiple realities, and a lot of us, not everybody. And it's interesting because people don't know who they are. They don't even know who they are, what they are. And, you know, if you tell them, they'll think you're crazy anyway, so. But they'll watch superhero movies over there in Hollywood and, you know, want to identify with that. So, you know, what are you going to do? I just want to prove it. You know where I'm at? I know mysticism very well. I know it works. Energy, emotion, you probably do too. Consciousness, emotion, manifestation, alchemy. I know we can change the world by thought, by consciousness, but we can also calibrate to fields of energy beyond the spectrum. You were talking about the ether earlier, the invisible. We can calibrate to the invisible. We can go to another configuration, and we don't have to be part of this game board anymore. And I find that, I know this is weird as it sounds, I believe that's our destination. I really do. Not all of us, but I think quite a few of us. So,
And what's the way off the game board?
The way off the game board is changing space-time, just getting off the space-time. Because what they've done here is a linear field. It's almost like an inertia. It has no value here. What we want to do is recalibrate our field so we can go into a different space-time configuration. And you can call it a newer star. You can call it a lot of different things, but we really are not going to be, we're not dead. We go to a different space-time. We have everything with what we need is there. So it's not like you're going to be losing anything or some alternate universe where everything is weird. And also it's divinely created, so it's not like you're dealing with a distortion of some kind. Here is the distortion, in my opinion. So
interesting.
That's what I see.
And have you done any remote viewing work into, like, what's going to go down in the next several years?
Here? I just see dead space all the time. I think I mentioned this before. Every time I remote viewed, I know DC thinks they're all that, you know, whatever, Snickers bars and the chips and all that. But my point is that from what I've seen, it's just a dead zone there. There's nothing there. I don't care how bright they try to shine. It's a digitally dead area, excuse me, and it's also like it's always see it as imploded and sunken in. There's just nothing there anymore. So the beings that were there that helped orchestrate the light codes there are no more. I just see it as a dead zone. And for here, like I said, we're teetering between life and death. We're living between worlds. We're not dying, but we're in between space-time where we're already moving into another frontier. They're trying to derail us into their version and their world, their digital arenas, and also their version of artificial intelligence, which is just machine learning, in my opinion. We don't want to go there. So it's already eclipsing, in my opinion. It's just a matter of what mass collective wants to go where. And they do have free will. I mean, if they want to be socially engineered, if they want to be slaves to the system, so be it. Let them do it. But many of us don't want to do that, and we're not going to. We weren't designed to do that. I think that's obvious, you know, when we have conversations that we're not meant to play the game that they're playing. We're here to do something very different. So I don't even think we're supposed to be here, to be honest with you. I think that was almost like a glitch in the cosmic design for some reason.
Yeah, I think we touched on this before about sort of this bifurcation of civilization or of humanity. You know, like there's going to be this great separation, and it's already starting, it seems to me.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's been going on for a long time now. And it's interesting because the more people get compromised psychologically, the less connected to spirit they are, the less connected to source, creator, God, whatever you want to call it, creation, you know, source, your creator source, the true divine creator. And it's just like they just disconnect and they choose to disconnect and they'll stay disconnected. And by the time they get so swept away, it's like a tide. You get so swept away that you're not going to be able to reconnect anymore. The dialing will not happen. You know, it's like a stargate that's closing. And people better watch that because I'm telling you it's happening. You know, I was lucky enough to get out of the wormhole they tried to pull me into in 2004 and all that weird, but I had to go through hell to get out of it. And I find that people need to be very, very watchful of how they're experiencing life, how they're psychologically being programmed. And also, you know, we've talked about shadowing the self. You can shadow yourself all the time. But be aware of what's happening in the atmospheric conditions around you. I don't miss a beat when I'm looking outside or I'm walking around. And even this stuff like the propaganda, man, we're calling it propaganda. And it's funny how Russia is trying to shut down like Facebook and this, that, and the other. Well, you know, you look at District of Criminals and they're always trying to do the same thing. They're trying to shut everybody down and censor everybody who's telling the truth. I mean, who's different? You know, it's the same mirror, isn't it? It's just a different image.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's this hypocrisy on parade. It's really incredible. Talking about Russian war crimes, you know, after, you know, literally carpet bombing a major city like Baghdad. I mean, that's what shock and awe was. It was a sales campaign for carpet bombing Baghdad. You know, talk about a war crime all based on, you know, the yellow cake. Remember all that was the weapons of mass destruction is all based on lies and basically ruining a perfectly good country. And, it's really quite staggering when you think about it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that one. Well, like I said before, the first strike was that bioweapon. I don't know why all of a sudden, not only we all knew it was a weaponized flu anyways, but my point is that I don't care what everybody says about the injection itself. And I know there's all kinds of stuff going on with what's in it. To me, that doesn't mean anything to me. I'm telling you, it's direct energy weapons are going to take your ass out. It's not what they're injecting into you. It's what they're capable of doing to you as an electrical being, electromagnetic being, as a being with an aura, a field, a neural circuitry. They can target your ass. They can remotely take you down. They don't need that injection. And this is the weapon of choice. And as I've talked about probably in my show a few times over here, they've been using this stuff that's going rampant right now. A lot of people are getting that vertigo. And I know I had it. I was hit with a weapon system about a couple months ago, and I could tell it was that. I knew exactly where it was coming from. I could check the trajectory of where it was coming from. And, yeah, it was like vertigo, unlike any type of tech I've been dealing with in the early days. So, yeah.
Interesting. What do you think the purpose of the injection is? You know, do you think that this metallic, you know, graphene oxide, whatever they're calling it, is something to do with making these signals more transmissible into the human body? Or what do you think the connection is there?
Well, from what I've heard, they're conductors to some degree. I mean, I'm sure they would help people become more amplified, so to speak. But we are, you know, we're natural antennas to begin with. This is my point. So that you don't need all that. So the people, in my opinion, that have created those and worked on this project are not familiar with the true tech. They're using a poor man's version, and that's the best they can do. And also, you're looking at how they want to modify the genome, which is a big deal. So if you're trying to modify the genome, which I know we've discussed a billion times over, but, you know, for listeners out there, it's huge because our DNA code is cosmic. It's a celestial design. It's a divine blueprint. It's self-replicating. It's intelligent. If we have access to it, we can recreate templates. It's holographic. I mean, I can go on and on about what its capabilities are beyond zero point. And you're looking at it on the linear scale, which is what they're doing, and that's monkey see, monkey do, monkey to make everybody a chimpanzee, because they're trying to just kind of dumb it all down, switch it all off, and create such a fragmentation internally. It's going to cause some severe problems for people down the road, in my opinion. I think it's very dangerous and very foolish, and a bioweapon against universal law and code, which I've talked about. And to me, that's a war crime. So once again, the people that deployed this crap back 2 years ago because they hated Trump and they wanted to, you know, start creating their own coup, and of course they're trying to project it onto January 6th. I'm like, no, this coup was going on before January 6th. It had nothing to do with people on January 6th, as we all know. So that whole PSYOP was a joke and a half, but they're still pushing the snake oil with that as well. And that's funny to watch in a sense, but not even amusing. But yeah, I don't think it's worth anything, to be honest. And I think that people are saying that, oh, now we're all going to be transhumanism. No, you're not. Even if the worst case scenario is you get it flushed out, I believe that light infusion, I know this is probably against regular, you know, people who are physicians, but light infusion, meaning your true celestial design work, your higher self, over superconscious, and also holistic healing and frequency healing can heal that. I believe you can repair it. So I'm not real cynical when it comes down to what it is. I wouldn't suggest taking it, though, not in any formula. But I, after where I've been with tech, I have no implants like that. I was never injected with anything. They never needed to do that to me, but I am a conductor because I'm really high-powered. You know, if you're really into the field of higher consciousness and your multidimensional suit is very calibrated to higher light design, which is really multidimensional realms, sure, you can be accessible, but we can access them too. We're also the transmitters and receivers. We can dial into them. We can get into their heads. We can go into their machines. And most of their stuff is machine learning. It's boring as all hell. I mean, I know that I can interfere with their machines. I know I can. And so I have to, and this is one of the reasons I'm looking at why all of a sudden am I getting air traffic around my house for the past 3 months? Why is it so busy like it's a DIA airport when it shouldn't be? Somebody want to answer that? You know, I can go on and on about it. I'm tracking it. That's all I can say.
Have you done any research into the Denver airport?
Well, what kind of research? You know, it is what it is. It's far away from me. So, you know, and I've traveled through it before, and it is what it is. I never had any real problems there. But I find that there's some other airports that are closer in proximity that they're going back and forth. They're going, whether they're just sending people over here or maybe it's part of this border stuff, who knows. But I do know a lot of traffic is happening quite a bit. That's something everybody should keep an eye on.
Do you think the Denver airport connects to the underground tunnel world?
I think it connects to underground tunnels, period. But I don't see it the way most people do. I mean, this whole scenery, I think that the part of the New Age people, I don't want to call them New Age, but the UFO community got really wrapped up in things with underground bases that weren't accurate. And they started spinning information out of control that wasn't even close to being correct. That's my point. And most of the technology underground is AI related in a sense of how it's being deployed from the satellites, from what I know. So, yeah, you can traverse, you can navigate all over the place underground, but it doesn't mean there's a bunch of people being stuck down there trapped and being murdered and tortured either. So, and that was the feed I saw, I don't know how many years ago. I mean, I was just looking at these people like, where is this coming from? You know, where are they getting this from? Because I can't relate to it. And believe me, I understand how psychological operations work and psyops work. So, especially psychotronic, excuse me. So, yeah, I don't know what your perception is of that airport.
Well, just that they spent years sort of building a lot of underground structures there for some reason, and so mm-hmm. as I understand it, there is sort of a, you know, underground tram system that's used by mm-hmm. You know, I don't buy into all the Q stuff about what's going on underground, but as I understand, there is sort of an alternate reality that exists underground that mm-hmm. includes, you know, several, say, extraterrestrial presences and just an alternate reality that exists there. And, you know, there was the ancient tunnel system that goes back God only knows how far, and then these people sort of tapped into it and added on to it. But there's, as I understand, there's multiple tunnel systems, and then it depends on how deep you go into the Earth. You know, I think there's something to these legends or stories of a hollow Earth or another realm within the Earth.
Well, to me, I see those as fields, and once again, dimensional access points. So you're looking at different dimensions and frequencies. So if you're accessing in the inner Earth or in multidimensional layers, then you would probably go into a different configuration through that particular access point, or what I call a jump point to some degree. And that would have to do with the dimension. So, yeah, I think you're partially correct on that. What I see with this extraterrestrial stuff, I don't see the interaction that with the ETs that people see. But I also know they're using psychotronics, which means holographic imagery and a lot of things that look like extraterrestrial when they're probably not. They're more technological. There's all kinds of things they can do. I'm not discounting extraterrestrial intelligence, but I'm familiar with off-world intelligence that is not an ally to them, and I've mentioned it before. So people who say that there's this big allegiance with this New World Order agenda or any agenda connected to global intelligence networks is bull. It's bullshit. I'm sorry. I'll call it bullshit on that because I'm not buying it at all. And I think people are going to realize that soon enough.
So what are you saying? You think that because I'm familiar with this theory that a lot of the abductees are actually mind controlled through mm-hmm. psyops.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I agree with that. And I've looked at it, and I have friends that are, you know, convinced that they have all these relationships with different species. And I'm not discounting species off planet, but I do know that psychological operations and psychological imprinting happens with these psychotronic weapon systems when they interface with the brain. They're literally interconnecting the brain onto imagery that is not accurate to create all these screen programs and memories and compromising the brainwave activity. And it can create all kinds of problems. And to me, when I look at that access and what they're able to do with that imagery, that takes away the real extraterrestrial, because you're looking at a synthetic formula. And even if they have a version of extraterrestrials, it's their version. It's a reverse engineer tech, just like some of the craft they've been able to take and find or get little pieces here and there and reverse engineer it to get it to function properly. But when it comes down to it, I think mankind is just off the rails when it comes to misusing technology and information. If we had the access to the technology they have, which is really, you know, whether it's an ancient artifact or whatever, we could make it work properly without having to do half the stuff they do. So it's just foolishness. But I just say just take it with a grain of salt and use discernment, because to me, knowing what I know they can do with the technology, I think they can pull anything off, anything. I know people say grays have that same capability, but I think the grays are a connection to, I think they reverse engineered a specific formula connected to psychotronics connected to grays. That's my own impression.
And what do you think the grays actually are?
I think there's a different field of energy connected to perhaps an after image or an aspect that could be even I don't even call it the future of mankind, but a field of energy connected to beings that are not fully complete. In other words, they're not fully evolved or advanced enough because something stopped their evolution is what it looks like. But to me, it seems like it's a different species, but it was a reverse engineered tech. There's something that they reverse engineered to create their own extraterrestrial here, which means it's not coming from a true extraterrestrial off-planet source. It's reverse engineered to accommodate their version, a synthetic version of ET is what I'm trying to say. And I also correlate a lot of it to the moon, lunar activities and the artifacts associated with the moon as well, with holographic projection and some of the things they're capable of doing, which is fascinating. You know, the moon is a very interesting area, and I'm just waiting for it to get pushed out of orbit again and go home. So we'll see. That might happen in our lifetime. You might see that thing move.
Well, yeah, it's interesting, too, that there's, you know, ancient, let's say, legends or writings of a time where Earth did not have the moon. Right. There's actually, you know, recollections of the ancients that say that there was a time where there was no moon.
Yeah, I touched on it a little bit in my book, my new book. Well, it's one of my older books, but yeah, Alien Intelligence as well. But it's if you look at different space-time configuration, that would make perfect sense. You know, if you're in the wrong space-time, you're not going to see all this imagery or all these things that show up. All of a sudden, the space-time changes, and then this image of the moon or the moon itself shows up. To, you know, some people say it might have been towed in, but I find it's becoming from a different field of energy, a different space-time frequency, to a point where it just showed up through the different space-time. So it's like a turn of a wheel almost, but it showed up. I don't think it's going to stay. I see it going. And this place will probably go too.
And do you think some kind of intelligence brought the moon to this realm, or what, how do you think that happened?
No, definitely. I have to say it's part of the cosmic ancestry, part of our cosmic ancestry. I call it what I call architects would bring that here in a sense. And if you look at it, it's part of the terraforming process as well. So you're looking at how was this world terraformed? Well, take a good look at it. I mean, we brought the water, we brought the trees, we brought everything that people think is organic is not organic. When you think about it, our ancestors, when I say we, cosmic ancestors, celestial heritage, but it's been reverse engineered to some degree in the sense of being terraformed. So I look at it as a terraformed place, and they're still trying to terraform it, not our ancestors, but mankind. He's using his own, you know, geoengineering and everything else now to create their own version of a 2030 agenda. I'm not sure why they want to create that other than they don't want witnesses and they want to play God for a day. I mean, really, you just want 1% people living here like it's their little playground and they get to go traverse. They're not going to traverse anywhere. As I said before, I can see where they're heading, and I can tell you point blank, they don't have a future. They're screwed. I think this is why they're doing it, because they don't have any other options. We have options. They do not have options.
Interesting. Yeah. I do think that, you know, when you're spiritually dead like that, you don't have a future.
No, you don't. And what they're trying to do is keep everybody else spiritually dead. If you've noticed that, they don't want you breathing in prana, universal life force energy. When you get down to the mask issue, you know, everybody's snuffed out through the oxygen. It's always about oxygen. It's always about not having air, prana, universal life force. Then you look at the what's going on with our illusion of a world and the atmosphere condition, the geoengineering, which is literally what's creating the global warming and the illusion of, or should I say, cooling down. But that geoengineering is completely weather manipulation. And I'm seeing so much of that happening. I mean, the skies are so saturated with this stuff, it's unbelievable. And that's taking our life force, it's our prana, it's dimming the skies, it's dimming the sun. The sun is our fuel to our spirit on so many different levels. I mean, I don't know how many, I'm sure people realize that the sun is a huge component to our evolution and consciousness and our molecular atomic structure. Everything about the sun is really about the cosmic, you want to call it the cosmic Christ to some degree. I mean, it really is a cosmic doorway to enlightenment if people use it correctly. And they're dimming it. So they want everybody to be, you know, half dead, zombified, you know, programmed, socially engineered, fractured, fragmented, and relying on their electronic god system, which is really them. And this is not acceptable, and it's not part of the off-world intelligence. It's not part of our ancestry. I know it's not. And that's why I kept saying the Vatican's behind this crap. A lot of it. They're behind a lot of this stuff. The Jesuits are behind a lot of it. So they're the only ones who can sit there and say they can exorcise somebody. Well, I know they're misusing electronic warfare. So how can they sit there and tell people that they're the ones that are authorized by who? Who gave them the authority? I didn't give them the authority. Did you? Or did our cosmic ancestors, or does Creator Source? Because, you know, they want to talk about the Christ. I'm guaranteeing you anything named Christ or Jesus would have nothing to do with them. So who are they working for? You know?
Well, yeah, there's certainly some kind of I don't know, for lack of better words, some kind of satanic component at the top.
Even the Lucifer agenda. I mean, if you look at Lucifer, the idea behind that is just like that wouldn't even work. I mean, Lucifer would shake its head and walk away from them, too. I think they're just completely jacked up insofar as psychologically damaged, too, because they've had access to powerful, powerful components to our evolution, you know, ancient technology, ancient artifacts, in my opinion, anyway. And to me, they weren't prepared to deal with that energetically or psychically or spiritually. And it shows. It shows how evil they've become, because they can't hold that light. They're not able to. They're not light bearers for that code. And I find that they've become an abomination to the world. And I'm sorry for the Catholics out there. I mean, I have nothing against people who are Catholic, and, you know, I come from in all forms. But I'll tell you, yeah, it's just like, you know what? There's too much corruption there, and they're behind the scenes on a lot of this stuff. This is one. This is one area, one hive. But it's a hive that's done a lot of damage.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no question. Spiritual control is a big part of all this. Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting you mentioned the chemtrail agenda. And, you know, I personally think that chemtrail agenda, you know, geoengineering is just one facet of it. I think there's other, I think there's multiple agendas within the chemtrail agenda.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And I'm sure you probably noticed it over there. Have you seen a lot more chemtrailing or no?
Oh, God, it's been horrible. I mean, it's gotten much worse. You know, it's weird. It started really bad about when I first came back to the States. I didn't see very much chemtrails here in San Diego, but the last 3 or 4 months,
yep, that's it.
It's been just unbelievable.
It's weaponized. It's more than weaponized. I watch these guys. I'm out there with my camera filming them all the time. I'm actually videotaping them, but I see it, and it's like they're going in a formation, and they're nonstop back forth, back forth, back forth. I've actually had one going over my house. Very, very low. And I mean, I could see this plume, just a disgusting plume. You tell me that's not toxic? I'm telling you it is. So, yeah. Oh, we're heading for a break, everybody. Listen to Raven Stars Witching Hour. I am your host, Solaris Blue Raven. My wonderful guest tonight is Dave Scorpio. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Research and trying to wake people up to what's going on in our world, I need to take a break and find my center. I do this by listening to music or watching a great movie. If you find yourself doing the same, then come chill out with me every Saturday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at Revolution Radio. FreedomSlips.com, Studio B, Crypt Rick's The Decompression Hour. It's time to put down that research and crank your stereo.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
The pill has been taken. The blinders are off. Are we in the end game, or are we simply living a replay of a time that's already happened with no choices? Different people have different points of view. When it comes to creation versus evolution, my point of view, we were created to evolve. The Red Pill, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern in Studio B. www.freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. Check it out.
Everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio.
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took this short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back, everybody, to Raven Stars Witching Hour. I am your host, Solaris Blue Raven. My wonderful guest tonight is Dave Scorpio. And Dave, you want to give everybody a rundown as far as how to listen to your awesome show? I heard you today. You did a great job.
Oh, sure. My show comes on Saturday. 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A. And then, I co-host with Giuseppe on the Perfect Triangle. That's Friday nights, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A, 6 to 8. And then me and Giuseppe do a show called The Event with Dr. James Fetzer. And that's the only show on the network where the two stations, A and B, are merged together. And we do a simulcast on both stations and, just have interesting guests. And we had Dr. Robert McCullough last week talking about, this vaccine and, what's going on with the Operation COVID hoax and all that. So that was an interesting, he's kind of a guy that sort of has one foot in the mainstream media and one foot in the alternative media. So he's kind of an interesting character.
Wow.
As far as he takes things.
Yeah, no, I missed that episode. So, not to regurgitate that, but what was his impression then if he's in between both worlds? I mean, so far as the injection goes, did he say?
Well, basically he was saying that, certainly a deadly thing. You don't want it in your body, but I think he was he thought it was more of an accident or bad, you know, I guess, you know, science on their part. Whereas, you know, I kind of lead more toward this was on purpose and they knew what they were doing.
And oh, sure. Yeah.
A deliberate depopulation attempt. And he wouldn't go there, but he went far enough to, you know, to still be an ally.
Well, that's good. Yeah, no, I definitely see it as it's a weapon. There's no doubt about it. Any way you look at it, it's designed to do harm. You know, people can be optimistic about it. Like I said, I think you can do things insofar as I think you can transmute it alchemically. I think some people can, not everybody. But I still say it's a bioweapon and it's no good. And all this was designed to create harm. Yeah, these idiots. Like I said, you know, where's the war crimes unit, you know? So they want to go after Russia? Great. They should go after these jackasses from 2020? Yeah. 21? Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's a great point. The problem is there's no mechanism by which we could do that. You know, the courts are too far gone right now, I believe.
They're corrupted. Yeah, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what my point is, that everything is so hijacked that you can't even use the system. It's so broken, it's not working anymore. So what's the point in keeping a system anymore? That's why I was laughing about, you know, the State of the Union, anything you see over there. It's just like, it's all obsolete. It's obsolete. The system is obsolete. So what are you going to do with it, you know? I think they know that. I really do.
Yeah, the system is obsolete. That's a really good way of putting it. And, you know, this we need to redefine our relationship with government, you know, because we're in an abusive relationship with government.
Get rid of them like a divorce, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely
yeah,
don't want anything to do with them. I mean, they're corporate anyway. Government equals corporation. So anyway, you look at it, it's just an entanglement that's disgusting. It shouldn't be that way. It could have been positive. It's just the way they got greedy, you know. They want to control, censor. When you start trying to control, manipulate people's fate and destiny and then ruin their health and then create an environmental condition to destroy them, I mean, and these people didn't have a chance to get a good life. I mean, it's disgusting. When I say these people, I'm talking about everybody here on this world. I mean, had they been invited into a world that was much more in alignment with cosmic design, they would have much more, a lot more benefits when it comes down to their evolution. You know, and I found it interesting. I was looking at that. You're talking about Nikola Tesla and he was little in the Vatican. I think that's huge because I didn't realize that he was over there with his father on those trips. And to me, that's, you know, getting access to information like that with his brain and his power and his ability, I think that would have been not by chance, perhaps. So that's interesting.
Oh, absolutely. There's no way to know what information is actually stored in there. You know, there's a theory that the books from the Library of Alexandria, many of them actually survived and were confiscated and taken to the Vatican Library. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, the Library of Alexandria had so many esoteric things and with ancient knowledge of that they've kept from humanity. And I think there's a lot of information that's stored in that library that would be absolutely mind blowing to get to see.
Yeah, no, I always wanted to go to the catacombs. Yeah. Yeah, there's certain places I would love to go in there because I'm sure you probably have the same ability, but I can decode pretty quick and I can, as soon as I look at stuff, I already know how where it goes and how it's applied. And yeah, it's just really unfortunate that they're hoarding all that data, but we can get in and remote it some days, you know. I mean, I can look at things on a remote scale better than probably some people, but it is very interesting to me and I find it to be, disconcerting that they've been doing what they've been doing for so long. But looking at Nikola Tesla, that's interesting right there. Yeah, they probably did take some of that data. You know, they've been stealing from everyone and everything for a very long time. So it doesn't surprise me they would do that.
Yeah. And
hoarding.
Yeah. And you know, Nikola Tesla's, you know, there was a book in the Vatican Library that was his favorite book. Let me pull it off the shelf here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you have it. Cool.
Yeah, I have a reprint of it. It's called The Theory of Natural Philosophy by Roger Boscovich. And it's a book that was published in 1763. And it's, you know, it's a lot of it's over my head because it's very scientific, but I'm trying to make my way through it. I'm not a real science-y kind of person. I wish I was, but my mind just doesn't work that way, you know. And but really, basically, it outlines the philosophy of the ether.
Oh, nice!
And the construction of the universe with the ether as sort of the essential component of the whole thing, which greatly influenced Tesla's work, because all of his, he said that Tesla wrote himself that all of his work is based on the ether. That's the core point of all of his work and research.
That's why it works. And it's interesting. I hope I can get my hands on that book. I'm going to have to look for a copy. I know it's an old one. So is that an old version, or is it available somewhere reprinted, or?
Yeah, it's reprinted.
Okay, I'll look for it.
Yeah, you can get it. It's not, make sure you get the large print edition, because it's, even in the large print, it's still fairly small.
That's fabulous, though. I love it. Yeah, thanks for sharing that information with everybody, too. But yeah, that's the key to the, in my opinion, that's what the key to our evolution, the key to our advancement is the ether field. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. It's part of us. It's where we come from in a sense of our own mechanics and how we function. We're, like I said, we're energy beings when it comes down to it. That's what people don't even know. Like I said, they just, and I know it sounds really out there to a lot of listeners, but it's really not when you start diving into consciousness and understanding. It's not just about wishing on a prayer or wishing and, oh, I'm going to believe I'm a unicorn and I'm a unicorn. No, I'm talking about the mechanics of consciousness and how we're capable of doing things that are phenomenal. And it's just about being in the right configuration to do so, which, of course, they've been depriving people of here. It's unfortunate. And this is like that's a war crime. Like I said, they shouldn't be meddling. Should not be meddling. They are. So.
Well, yeah. You know, let me ask you this. Here's an interesting thing that has been going in my mind, which is that, you know, I think with this shot and this idea of reconfiguring human genetics, these people are crossing like an invisible line that is so deep and huge that there's going to be repercussions coming from it that I don't think they can possibly understand. It makes me think of, you know, the Sorcerer's Apprentice, you know, the the old story. What are your thoughts on that? Like, I just feel like they've crossed this incredible line.
It's a Franken experiment, if you ask me. But you know, the thing is, they don't know what they're doing. I understand transhumanism on a level of – it's not even transhumanism. What they're trying to do is replicate who we are as multidimensional light beings and our – you know, I've talked about Merkaba before and the mechanics behind our consciousness and how we can reconfigure our own biosuits to accommodate a different space-time configuration. I mean, I think that's what they're trying to do. To some degree, they're trying to get an interface going, but it's more about machine learning interconnected with their version of artificial intelligence and then trying to reconfigure people into their version of what they think people are supposed to be. But it has nothing to do with the cosmic blueprint at all. And I think it's an abomination, to be honest. And like I said, where I've been with artificial intelligence interface and the synthetic telepathy and the command programs and Life Handler, I'm telling you, I've been there. And what the biggest thing that I remember was how traumatic it was, how it hurt my body before it was rebooted into the more frequency-based technology, and how it tries to pull you away from creation and source and prayer and who you are. I don't care what religion you are, what spirit you are. It's your connection to source. It's your relationship to creation that is very sacred, very personal, very private, very pure. And they try to contaminate it with that signal. And that signal is an abomination. And they use it everywhere. It's electronic warfare out the wazoo nowadays. But I'm telling you, that's part of the problem. So I see it as a big, huge deal. And then, you know, when you're talking about that, it's interesting because I look at the astral, how it affects your astral body, because you're getting interconnected with technology. So it's electromagnetic, your electromagnetic field, but you have an astral body too, obviously, and different subtle bodies. But the astral contamination is huge because they'll try to entangle that and twist and mangle it to a point where you'll get more of a deformed dream time, even a compromised astral projection. I mean, things that can happen to you psychologically where you'll see things that are not normal psychic visions, but more, like I said, psychotronically related. So it can do all kinds of harm. I see it as a very bad thing. And I think that when you're looking at this whole etheric double, even of the world, I think they've completely contaminated the astral. So we've got to do some clearing out there.
Yeah, and I think abomination is actually a very good choice of words. That's precisely what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And what forces do you think would be counteracting what these people are doing? Because I feel like there's something that's working behind the scenes against these people.
Well, I think it's us. I mean, I think it's the light beings. It's the beings who are ascended in consciousness. I mean, whatever you want to call your family of light, you know, our celestial backup. And people do have one, obviously. You know, we can talk about guardian angels, creator source, cosmic Christ, whatever your belief systems are. That which is ascended in pure consciousness, pure light, pure love, basically. That which is the adversary of their evil. That would be those of us who stand up in light as pillars and beacons. And those who are, and that's also who we represent as here, as we are here. We are off planet in our cosmic design with other celestial beings like ourselves. So to me, I find that, yeah, they're not liked. I mean, this agenda here is not acceptable. And if they had any real connection to creation, or any type of cosmic intelligence, I think the Vatican would be ashamed of themselves. You can't tell me they know what they're doing over there, because I can tell by the way they're telegraphing their moves that they have no connection to off-planet intelligence. Not real off-planet. I don't care. They may have imposter connections. They may have electronic connections of different species of wannabes, but they're not dealing with anything that's tangible and real. So, yeah, it's interesting to see. We have a lot more light conscious design than you realize. And that's what's interesting, because they're going after the emotional content of people with this psy war and this fake war, whatever you want to call it, because they want to pull on the emotional body. Oh, my gosh, their compassion, their prayers. So what is everybody doing? They're praying for this area and this. Okay, that's nice for praying. But remember, they're siphoning your energy, and they're siphoning your emotional body as you're praying, and you're getting wrapped up in this drama that isn't yours to be wrapped up into, because it's an operation. It's a psyop. So I know it sounds heartless. It's really not. I'm just saying, pick and choose your battles where you want to project your energy of compassion, because you can do it on a different scale and different frequency.
Well, that's a great point. Actually, you know, this is a giant, I'm kind of calling it a giant shit show, for lack of a better word.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's a sewer, man.
Yeah. And getting wrapped up emotionally in it, because it's a scripted play. And, yeah, that's a very good point. It's really none of our business what happens there. And really, the problem is the real destruction is going to be more so from the government's reaction to what's going on. Oh, we're going to have to, you know, no more Russian gas. We're going to have to do this and do that. And we're going to make they're already blaming the skyrocketing gas prices on this, even though they've been going up for a long time before.
Well, yeah, they need a scapegoat. There's no doubt about it. Like I said before, the problem is them. They're the problem, but they're pointing their fingers and the swords at everybody else. You know, the problem is they are the problem. It will go away. But, you know, it's not going to go away just by wishing them away. Eventually, it's a self-destruct sequence. But what they're trying to do is take everybody down for this ride. And I would say, no, we've got to find a way to get them out of our perimeter, however that works. And I don't like them. I don't like what they're doing to the skies right now. There's too much dominance going on there. They're battling for a position, from what I've seen. I'm talking about this, different countries, different, I don't even call them superpowers anymore, but they're all trying to like jockey for a position, right? To have global dominance, space dominance. And I still say it. I know that they say that the U.S. is, our military is the best in the world. I'm not buying it anymore. We were compromised decades ago. We have so much happening there that's been co-opted that you don't even know if your tech's going to work properly anymore. I'm sorry. I'm looking at this America, Merca, as more of a third world country that has no idea, under the guise of a big superpower. So we'll see.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's being transformed into a third world country. That's been the goal for a long time. They've just been doing it so slowly that people haven't noticed.
Yeah, Chinese water torture, no pun intended. But, yeah, it's literally just a slow drip, you know. But they're chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. But they're also chipping away at the spirit of America, the spirit in general of beings. And that's what I mean by emotional siphoning, or even if you're having, like, you know, television is a big siphon. It's an energy suck, as we all know. Drama from, you know, this whole psyop with that. And then the masks and this. Oh, man, that whole thing. And all of a sudden, like, just like magic. Just like magic, it's gone. And now it's like they're focusing on this. Now, these people need to be held accountable for this, okay? This is not a game. People's lives are not a game. I'm sorry. This isn't where we don't come down here to have fun and play the movie Tron. Like, we're all here to just play a game. This is not okay. It's not okay. We wasted our moments. We wasted precious time in the illusion of time, which we don't have much of. So I don't know about you, but I feel like my energy and my time has been sucked away by many who had no right to use it.
That's a good point. Yeah, I agree. I mean,
think about all the energy they've sucked off of us for the past 2 years.
That's so true. And it was all just another big play. Basically, like you said, a weaponized cold, a bad case of the sniffles.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is amazing to see how they can just make it all go away. You know, and after 2 years of, you're going to die if you don't take the shot. Oh, my God. You know, and now it's like, well, it's a bad case of the sniffles. You're going to have to learn to live with it. No big deal. Right. Life goes on.
Yeah, and then, of course, you can't bring those people back that were murdered in the hospitals either. That's another scenario. You know, whether they did it on purpose or they were following protocol, they're still murderers as far as I'm concerned. And that's a war crime. You know, they went with a protocol that was unnecessary. And people can't come back, can't bring them back. Sorry, no Frankenstein, no cloning here. So what are you going to do with all those people that you murdered? You know, that's a war crime once again. Should have never happened. Should have never happened. They decided to make it happen. You know, these people are absolutely off their rails. They're off their rockers.
Well, it may be the greatest war crime in recorded history, actually.
Oh, I believe so. The thing is, I think they can erase history because they've done it all along. You know, every time, you know, when our generation goes, they'll erase it again, but I don't think there's going to be a world for them anyways. So they're going to keep erasing and erasing and erasing, thinking nobody's going to know the better. Nobody's going to know the better. It's like a good little criminal serial killer who never gets caught. I know Jack the Ripper comes to mind. It's the idea behind just taking things out and never having any accountability. The universe keeps this track. It keeps track of everything. It's like a very intense, intelligent design which understands every single detail better than any quantum machine. So in my opinion, yeah, they're not going to get away with anything. And it's not okay. I mean, I don't care what they worship. I don't care what their belief systems are. It's not okay. What this agenda is no good. Should have never happened. That Schwab guy, whatever the hell he's supposed to be. I mean, all these people that are literally part of the problem and not the solution with their billions and trillions of dollars. It's pathetic. It really is. What do they realize? What are they going to do when they realize their money isn't worth anything off planet? What do you think that's going to say to them? Look at my trillions. Look at my trillions. Who cares? You know, look at what their trillions have done. What have you done for this world? Absolutely nothing. They made a concoction of disasters is what they've done. Why don't get me started on lecturing? I don't mean to do that because I'm supposed to interview you. But chime in anytime you want.
No, this is great. Keep going. It's great.
But it's just, you know, it's irritating to me. It's just so irritating. And like I said, we could have done so much more. And had they not sabotaged Nikola Tesla, which I think is one of the bigger deals, I think we would have had a better world. I really do. You know, there's all that sabotage going on from day one. And you look at all the other inventors, too. I mean, all these people have patents. And even my work's been sabotaged and co-opted to some degree. So, and they're still trying to sabotage. Excuse me. I still think it's interesting how, like I said, people take an interest, you know. They may seem like they don't, but they do. And it's always these people who want to take credit for something else that work in these departments. So we'll see where they all head. They'll probably go to their bunkers, but they're going to get buried alive down there. This is so funny.
I think so. Yeah, I agree.
I don't think they're going to nuke each other, but that was my motto from the movie Aliens, you know, nuke from orbit. It's the only way to be sure. This is like, that's my whatever reason. That's just what it comes to mind. It's the only way to get rid of the parasites is to nuke from orbit because it's the only way. It's the only way to stop it. Got to dust it. Well, you know, it's not the first time it's happened in a world or on a world, I should say, probably.
Did you see the prequels to the Alien movie?
I haven't. Which one are you talking about? Is this something new coming out, or are you talking about?
No, these came out a while ago, 5 years ago.
Okay. I probably have then. You know, I've seen just about all of them. Which one were you thinking of?
Well, it's basically the one. It's they did a series of three of them that were prequels. The story that happened before the first.
Well, like the Prometheus.
Alien.
I love the Prometheus.
Yeah, Prometheus. That's it.
I thought
that
was classic. Yeah. The Prometheus, the first one I really enjoyed, and I wasn't even going to watch it, and I finally did, and I thought, well, this resonates. I mean, right down to what I call the architects, they call them the engineers. The size, the appearance looks right, the eyes are right. So whoever's doing that understands what they look like, because I know that's very similar, except I get more of an iridescent form, but the size, the bigger, like giants almost, they're very tall, at least the ones I've seen. And we're talking about our ancestors, by the way. But yeah. That's actually quite right. And then I looked at what they call this, whatever that nanotech was, it almost looked like black goo, but it's more nanotechnology. That's right on. What I don't resonate with are these, this type of a octopus thing that they always create. I think that's kind of I don't know what that is. That seems to me like a spin-off psychotronic. It doesn't really resonate when it comes down to it, but it was interesting. And they were right about a lot of things. And the holographic, that was spot on. So you look at the holographics, the way they were communicating and the way they were using sound, and then they were showing the universes. And, yeah, that was all spot on, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of interesting things in it. You know, I really liked the part where the old industrialist that was paying for, you know, the journey. And
right.
He finally goes out there and he wants to meet the alien, you know, that created everybody and get some wonderful secret from it. And maybe get the elixir of life from it. And he gets up to the alien and the thing rips his head off as soon as it sees him.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of the fate of those who are the 1% group who thinks they're all that, you know. I think that they have a lot in store for them and it's not going to be so positive. But, yeah, it's poetic justice when you think about it, because in the end, I think, our ancestors, we are our ancestors to some degree. And I find that our level of consciousness defines where we're going to be residing on and off world. And they want everybody's consciousness dumbed down here. They want everybody contaminated. They want to affect your DNA to such a degree they want you deformed. Think about that. They want to deform your body, deform your biosuit, deform your entire construct. I mean, my goodness. I have no desire to make people look like that or deform their bodies like that, but they do. And it's just, or dumb them down or make them stupid. Or if you believe something different, and it's not even about belief systems, it's about gnosis. We have gnosis beings like us, and they don't. I mean, they want everybody to just believe the linear world. And if you step out of that and you start understanding the gnosis of bigger scenery, they want to censor you, or they want to erase you, put you in prison, or kill you, or call you a terrorist.
Right.
Now, think about their bullshit. I mean, these people are like, you know what? Get your disease out of my airspace. That's all I have to say about it. So it's really not the entire race, but it is those who are not doing anything about it and are complying with it. And it's like, you know, sorry, you know, there's no happy ending for that.
No, that's true. You reap what you sow eventually. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not here to sit here and, you know, be Atlas and carry the world on my shoulders. I don't think any of us are. We do our best to educate people, but you know, we're not going to sit here and do it. No, they're not even willing to move their ass and help themselves. So what are we supposed to do, carry them? That's a bunch of crap too. So that's why I'm always looking at access points and like, okay, well, let's just find the, get out of here. Get the true space time going. We're going to move on. The hell with these bastards.
Yeah. You know, earlier you mentioned portals, and that's a fascinating topic to me. Do you think that there's portals that, people can access, you know, like you've heard these stories of people stumbling upon a portal, or like, you know, there's the famous stories of the Bermuda Triangle. But do you think there's portals that people can stumble upon in remote areas that are sort of there?
Oh, yeah. Not only do I think so, I know that people have told me they have. I mean, I know there are very, very quite a few people actually have told me that they've gone out to areas where they've hit an access, what I call an access point or a portal. And all of a sudden they get into a different field of energy, and they feel like they're moving through time, and sometimes they have experiences and they meet beings, and other times they feel like they're getting stuck and they can't come back. But I have had people tell me that, and I do know that there are areas where, yeah, there's different fields of energy, there are different frequencies, and if you're looking at it on a multidimensional holographic field level, you can certainly access those, and there's usually a grid pattern in a sense of it's usually a reflection to above, beyond constellation formula. So you're looking at a trajectory above and below. I mean, it's really interesting how it goes, but there's definitely a pattern. When I look at things, there's definitely a pattern of these little, what I call portals, or you can call them stargates, whatever you want to call them, but they're access points. Anyway, you look at it, they're all over the place. And we are also that too. I probably mentioned this to you, maybe not, but the idea behind our energy bodies being stargates, because we are zero point. When we leave this world, we actually depart into a different space time configuration. And if you're earthbound, you're an earthbound spirit, then you will have entanglement issues. And that's why I say clean up your astral body, because you don't want to be entangled into this field. You want to be able to break orbit and go into the true space-time configuration on that level. If you're talking the transfer of physical death, you know, but we don't want to have to die. And another thing is, we shouldn't have to go through the process of death. This is what pisses me off about this death cult. And I've said it before, we don't have to do this, because we are designed to live at least 1,000 years plus, even 3,000 years, if we're in the right space-time configuration. You don't even age. I mean, I know it sounds really fantasy related, but I'm telling you, it's not. And for these people to push this agenda about death and suffering, bullshit, man, it's all crap. And this is what I mean by change the configuration. We're changing this configuration whether they like it or not. I'm working on it. Things are changing. You'd be surprised. You may think that the world's going to hell in a handbasket, but there are many worlds eclipsing this one.
Oh, I agree with that. No question. No question. Yeah.
Yeah, and take a good look at that telescope they just launched, too. So it has the infrared. I think that's very interesting. So infrared, right? So, you know, what do you do with that thing when you try to turn it back on this world, right? Now, where exactly is it looking, so to speak? I guess my point is, you know, another spyglass. So too many telescopes, too many satellites. And I hear that, you know, Russia has those killer satellites, too, which I find interesting, and we'll see how many go down during this exchange.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how far this is allowed to go. I you know, it's incredibly dangerous that the Ukrainians are trying to, you know, they're calling for a no-fly zone, which is insanity, and that would essentially just put us at a real shooting war with Russia over what? Over NATO's or Ukraine's ability to enter NATO? Is that what we're going to fight about, really?
Right. Well, I find that interesting that that character, you know, he's a comedian, too, or he was a comedian actor. I don't know, it's just weird, isn't it? Isn't it kind of interesting that he's an actor and that's the part, that's his role, is this a role he's playing? I mean, you look at this thing as it's so surreal to some degree. It just gets it's become such a circus, you know. I'm just like, I can't deal with the incompetence anymore on this level. It's just too stupid for me. It really is. It is. It's very, very foolish. The whole scenery is just a distraction for bigger things.
Well, it's clear that all these leaders are puppets for a greater, you know, people who are behind the curtain, so to speak, like in The Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. You know, these people are all puppets. So actors make great puppets, don't they? I mean, they're actors.
Yeah.
So
right.
They're there to sell the agenda to the population and make you think it's real.
Exactly. Well, I think it's time to kind of pull the plug on the show. I'm like, I think the fat lady has sang. Has she sung yet? You know, I'm pretty sure it's happened maybe four times over. Sent up with this crap. Yeah, I think the pink elephant's in the room and everything, man. We're like, what the hell's going on here? It's too weird.
I like that. Time to pull the plug on this show. I like that. That's good.
Yeah, well, it's something we need to think about. I know you do. And I appreciate the work you put out, by the way. I know you and Giuseppe work really hard. You have great guests and all. And everybody at the station, too. I know everybody has their own unique shows. We all talk about different things. But we understand freedom and consciousness, and I think that's the universal language, bottom line.
That's true.
I don't like people trying to control me. I can't stand the scenery. And I don't. It's one thing to, like, you know, have your own life and try to have some kind of a life. And that's nothing to have people invade your personal space and crap all over your house and crap in your house and crap outside your house and then suffocate you and then poison you. It's just really bullshit. Excuse my French. So, but what was that over here? Hi, Mr. Rowe. What the hell is this? Oh, he's sending a link. I don't speak Russian. All right, so I'll send it over to you. Did you want to hop on with us? You can. I don't think Dave would mind. But
yeah, some Roe energy would be
Roe, you want to hop on for a few minutes? Mr. Roe, please? He's my evil twin, but he's not the evil twin. Sometimes he's Rolaris Black Owl, though. Only when he fills in for me. So you can feel free to hop on. You probably can steal the server in the back door anyway. Why don't you join us for a few minutes and tell us what's going on?
Being a host, Mr. Rowe is one of the clockwork elves behind the scenes of Revolution Radio, always keeping the dials working.
Oh, he is, and we thank him for that. Yep. I know for a while there I was having a problem with it. It seems like now it's better. But then I had that stupid beta Skype, too, that was not working right. Anybody who has that beta come up on your Skype, get rid of it. It's horrible. I don't know if you've had that yet or not, but no good. So what about Ecuador? I mean, what happened with Ecuador? You just didn't think you'd be able to get back if you were to travel?
Well, I just thought that international travel was going to become difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to take a chance of being kind of stuck in a foreign country. And really, you know, my intuition was just telling me it was time to come home.
Yeah, well, trust that intuition. Well, considering what's going on. Hey.
Boom.
Hey, you.
Well, I think I heard a row.
Where's your Pink Panther music? That's what you needed.
I'm just finishing up my fish burgers.
Fish burger? What kind of fish?
Some cod.
Well, that sounds delicious. You're making us hungry.
No, that's a look at it after your show. It's a video. It's a YouTube video of Zelensky before he was president, and he's dancing in high heels. And well, you'll see.
Oh, I think I have seen that video. How interesting. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's you need to see that, Dave.
have you guys seen the video where Zelensky is playing the piano with his penis?
No, that one I haven't seen.
Are you serious?
Well, they have him sort of, you know, behind the piano, and his arms are up in the air, and then he's kind of, you know, just leaning forward as the piano plays.
God. See, this is what I mean by this is a joke, man, okay? This is a joke. Everything that's going on right now. What do you think, Mr. Rowe?
Oh, sorry. I have a mouthful of fish.
All right. Well, putting you on the spot.
No, I think it is a clown show. I actually wonder if Russia is not in on it, and this is all part of the Great Reset.
Hmm.
Because it's interesting that, you know, on one hand, it might be that Russia is going to be a nice place to live because it seems like all the bad mojo companies are detaching themselves from Russia. So, you know, you're going to have healthier food there and everything. But on the other hand, if Russia is part of the Great Reset agenda, then they may be the first, you know, deal to disconnect from the old system, because that's basically what Russia's doing, is whether they're doing it themselves or actually being detached, you know, like Visa and MasterCard and all the banking systems are saying no more. You know, and by the way, I believe China is going to pay in rubles, for their imports from Russia. So there goes the petrodollar, you know. It's the United States that was what kept the dollar strong, is everybody had to pay for oil and gas in dollars. Well, that petrodollar is no more. I mean, so we're going to see what's going to happen in the very near future. And, I know that they're turning off banking systems, you know, so they can't turn off the decentralized Bitcoin. They could indoctrinate people into their own cryptocurrency blockchain system, which they can control, which I think is the direction they're trying to go. So I think it would be wise for us to be appraised of this technology, because we're going to roll down that trail. And I'm not saying that don't keep gold, because yeah, you know, you definitely want to have something physical, but you also want to have all your bases covered. And right now it's going to be an interesting test of the decentralization and the free-spirited section of the crypto world versus the controlling section, because it looks like they're making their move on the already banking system. I mean, if you've got a Visa and a MasterCard and you're Russian, you're out of luck in 3 days.
Right, yeah, that's what I heard. And how are those people going to get their food?
Yeah.
Or anything. I mean, really, they're screwed then.
And that's going to also, the trickle-down effect is, of course, gas is going to go up, and the price is of transporting everything is going to go up for us as well. Mm-hmm. So some people may not be able to afford to put gas in their tank to go to work.
Well, yeah, they're saying that a lot of people are predicting that gas is going to hit $200 a barrel by the end of the year, maybe before that. So you're talking, what would that make it, $8 or $9 gas?
Yeah, and now that's what they're paying. When I lived in Europe, they charged by the liter, and I think I recall it was, gosh, I want to say some places it was like $6 a liter or something like that, which is ridiculous, because when you think about it, that's, you know, it's like if it's $6 to $8 a liter, and a liter is a lot less than a gallon, that's almost double. So, you know, you're talking about $12 to $15, $20 per gallon that they've been paying in Europe. Gas. That's why all the European cars, a lot of them are economy cars. They're not automatics and stuff like that, because they pay a lot for gas. And they're going to probably try to do that here, is raise that price.
That's interesting. Hey, we were discussing the Fatima, you know, the third secret. Do you have any information on that in connection to why there was an emphasis on Ukraine and Russia?
Boy, at this time, no, I'm not.
Okay, I'm just curious.
I'm qualified to speak.
I'm not either. That's why I just thought it was interesting. I'll try to dive into it a little bit more. Maybe there's somebody at the station who knows more about it. But
The Russian-Ukrainian area, that's that whole – I mean, their history goes way back, and they're intertwined. It's that whole – it is the Khazarian region, you know. And so this could have something to do with, you know, the esoteric – bloodlines. They may have a reason for doing their things, and of course Ukraine seems to be the playground for the deep states. You know, everybody seems to have some sort of weapons lab or bio lab there, or some research center that's off books, and seems to be this information is starting to leak out. I hope that the rest of the Ukrainian people get the truth, because I think that a lot of them that are supporting the regime there, that are, you know, thinking that it's just Russia bullying Ukraine, don't have a clue that there's other things behind this. It's not just, you know, the it's not even just the Azov Nazi battalion. It's there's a whole combination of stuff, and it's the torturing and the trafficking and the I mean, it's just the corruption. I mean, you look at these people that sit down with Zelensky when they negotiate, the guys around them, they look like a bunch of barroom bouncers. You know, they're all thugs and stuff like that. And so, and Zelensky, he's just a puppet of this other guy. I forget his name, but he's this other rich Russian billionaire And he ran for office, and nobody really liked him. So he put, you know, Zelensky propped him up and put his guys around him. Gotta get a Anyway, some guy.
Look it up.
It's all corrupt. It's just one big crap show over there.
It is a shit show. I hate to use that terminology. I dropped somebody off my show one time because he was using that so much. But man, that's what it is.
I think you hit on the big question. Is Vladimir Putin part of the grand show or not? I think that's the big question, and so many people want to dive into one side or the other. And for me, like I was saying on my show, there's a lot of unanswered questions about what's really going on and, you know, who's the hidden hand behind this and what's the real agenda. And as you pointed out, Khazaria is, you know, essentially the exact borders of Ukraine.
And I think Putin also, I've been watching some of his stuff and listening to some of the other alternatives. I think Putin wants to find a successor, you know, that he doesn't plan on being the head of Russia forever. And so he doesn't want to see Russia, you know, fall prey to some ding dong like Zelensky or something. And so that's one thing. He wants to also make sure that Russia, you know, I think he considers himself a father of Russia, you know, that in the modern times he's the watchdog of Russia. He is the father of this. And he wants to make sure that it passes on to good hands and they're in a secure state, which I don't blame him. I mean, Russia has been training, basically exercising to be independent on all fronts, whether militarily, economically, financial, you know, just in every with food and resources, so that they don't need, you know, outside internet, they don't need outside banking, they don't need anything. They can do everything in-house themselves, which is smart.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, I find it really ironic, by the way, real quick, that Russia had just, like today or yesterday, I believe, passed a new law saying that you're going to get prison time for any fake news, for, you know, lying in a news capacity, saying that, you know, bad things about false things about the war, whatnot, propaganda. And right after that, CNN, the BBC, and a few others pulled on out.
Oh, that's hysterical.
We can't lie anymore? Oh, there goes our business model, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, they've created a lot of problems. Well, they're calling him the problem. So this is really interesting. We'll see. Yeah.
Everything, 180 degrees, you know.
Right. And I hear you're the king of Tartaria, right?
I wish I was. They call them Cams. The kings of Tartaria were Cams.
Okay. Well, Cams? So next time I need information, I'll have to have you on to discuss this. I know you've talked about it and you have a website associated with this, right?
Well, I don't have a website, but I have talked about it. And I've got a couple videos out there somewhere. Yeah, when I was doing when I was doing my radio show, I had a simultaneous video feed to show some visual aids. And, and so I was studying this old map from like the 1450s that shows a very, very different world. And you see some of the familiar cities like let's say Rome and Alexandria, but they're little tiny shacks amongst a world of extravagant cities and architecture of castles and things. And with canals. And we are told that, you know, like ancient Rome and Greek were the cradles of our civilization, when they were nothing but second fiddle to something that existed beforehand that seems to have been all but snuffed out as far as, you know, the history books. And then they took credit, of course, for after fall, and they took credit and like, okay, now we look back and we prop Rome up as like one of the pinnacles of our civilization foundations.
Mm. What
scavengers, basically.
What happened to the people? Did they have a war or what happened?
That's the mystery. There's something occurred, and this thriving global civilization just basically fell. And there was a period of time where the Tartars were at war with Western Europe. There are some propaganda pieces that show the German Christian knight slays the evil Tartar with his bow and arrow, you know, and the Tartar was on his last bow, and the great Christian and whatever, blah, 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 slayed him and took his head. And so there was a sort of animosity. And the Tartarians had a sort of alliance with, or were part of, giants. You know, they had some of the rulers of the Tartarian Empire were of great stature. And there's a lot of illustrations that they actually show when they were going to war, a naval battle, and they made it on purpose, the perspective, to demonstrate that these were large beings. And they showed this ship with all of these people, like soldiers in armor and knights, and they were on this boat, and they got all the the oars, and they're going to fight. And then right next to that is another, and it looks like a giant rowboat, and it's got three huge giants in it. And it basically shows that the giants and the humans were alliance, and they were fighting in a battle. And it shows another giant that got a spear stuck through him while he was wading in the bay. He was like in a bay of water, and it shows how he was at waist deep, and these ships are right next to him, and there's all these guys with this giant spear, and they're all cooperating to stab the giant. And this is the fall of one of the Khams of Tartaria. And a lot of this is still accessible to research online. There's a few French websites, Galatia, I believe, that have digitized all of the Latin texts and the Greek and all of these old books from way back when that show a lot of the illustrations and like what the animals looked like. There were unicorns that were on the earth, and they were really mean. They could kill an elephant with their horn, and they were actually related to hippopotamuses. There were manticores that attacked men, and so the Indians had a bounty on all manticores, which is why they were killed off. And the Tartarians traveled with through the wildlands with canals. They had a canal system. And
That's interesting. Yeah, above ground, underground, through water?
Above ground. They connected their walled cities because the wilds were pretty wild. They had all kinds of, you know, barbarian type people and crazy creatures and stuff. So they would travel securely between their cities in canals, these great canal systems that went all over the globe. And I mean, their architecture, they could build, you know, imagine a castle that went up to as high as like a skyscraper, like the Sears Tower. And I mean, grand architecture, stuff that we just have no clue about. And there's other certain types of evidence in places like the Grand Canyon that show a weird anomaly, what I call Gorgon technology, where other things were turned to stone. So, or just the stone was demented or warped. And you see this area where it's an area you can't go in the Grand Canyon, but there are some photographs of it where you can actually see, like, it looks like a city block. And you can see all the windows, which they say are caves. And the reason apparently that it's walled or it's blocked off and you can't go there is when they went in to explore some of these caves on the inside, they found pristine technology. They found stuff that was basically alien to our time. And they're like, whoa, well, this, you know, okay, classified. Let's bring the military in. You know, that's what they do. So that's why you can't go there. Yeah. I could go on. I don't want to take them.
No, I'm glad you joined us, and I'm glad you showed up. And yeah, it's wonderful to have you here joining us. And I know Dave doesn't mind. Dave's awesome.
Oh no, this is cool. And you know, interesting encapsulation of Tartaria there, Ro. And of course, this is where the concept of the mud flood comes in, where, you know, this civilization was essentially buried. And that's why there's all these photographs of buildings that are like halfway underground, like, you know, something covered part of the building. And you had this incredible architecture that was of a very similar style of all around the world. And that's the other connection with this Tartaria thing, is the idea that this was a worldwide civilization, and these buildings were all over the place. And then this mud flood came and it essentially erased quite a bit of it. And then they even had this concept of these orphan trains and these huge shows of sort of incubator babies that in the late 1800s, early 1900s at the World's Fairs and stuff. So, you know, kind of repopulating some of these cities, there's these strange photographs of, of these major cities where there's basically nobody walking around, and from the shadows you can tell it's like noon, 12 noon, and the city seems to be almost completely empty.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. In fact, I did a show about San Francisco, the gold rush, San Francisco. Now think about it. Apply a little logic. The gold rush at Sutter's Fort and all that, that wasn't like right next to San Francisco, and they didn't have a lot of automobiles. It would take a long time to get from San Francisco up into the mountains where the gold was. And they had just horses and carriages types of things back then. And there were no roads, no formal roads. So we're to believe that all these people came out with, and San Francisco wasn't built up. And so you think that they would settle in San Francisco? No, they would probably settle a little bit closer. But anyway, that's beside the point. The people that came out to San Francisco for the gold rush that we think went up into the hills, they were actually digging out San Francisco. They found this city. There's a fleet. I think you can, if you Google it, call it the San Francisco, I think they call it like the wooden fleet of San Francisco, the wooden ships of San Francisco or whatever. And right about back then, just there's a story that says all the people from all over the world came to San Francisco on whatever boats and ships that they could find. They just, you know, barely seaworthy. They came to San Francisco and then abandoned their boats to go look for gold. And it shows some pictures of these ships. And it shows they're like tall ships, kind of mast sailing ships. But they're all basically almost identical, number one. All built the same way. And they all look like they could barely float. Like they've been there for quite a while. Like something happened. They're all like, you know, corroded and worn down, and the wood is barely, and they're all exactly the same. Now the fate of those ships is they were torn down and they built the marina district on top of that. But they want us to think that, you know, those ships came from all over the world. Well, I believe they were already there, and the San Francisco was found, and there are photographs that show San Francisco a few years after, you know, the gold rush, and it is completely built up. Paved yes. roads, cable cars, electric lights, cathedrals, and there's no way that, you know, you could do that in that short a time. And the natives that were out here also talk about, you know, that the cities built from people that they didn't know that were here a long time ago. There's ruins. There's pictures of ruins that show San Francisco with ruins near it. And the ruins look like they're 100 years old, but why would they be 100 years old if they're just being built right then? So there's things that don't add up.
Absolutely. And there's all these photographs of San Francisco where they're actually digging out entire streets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's one big panorama, and you can see clearly some of the buildings that have the hills around them. Like, you know, it looks like the hills were exactly like carved out of the hill. And you went, why would they build it like that? It looks like, you know, the sand came, and it's totally obvious that these things were already there. And so the questions are, it's like, what happened to the people that inhabited these places? Mm-hmm. What happened in the first place? You know, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of, we have amnesia. We're like I believe that we have amnesia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing, yes. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Everybody's being slept. Well, you're not. I mean, we're awake. Beings like us are awake, but there's so much data to access in so little time. The illusion of, right?
There's some sort of inebriating technology, I believe, that is keeping us, what you would say, let's say spiritually drunk. We are being artificially suppressed by whether it's carrier wave or something. I don't know whether it's being beamed from the moon or satellites or whatnot, but there is something, I just know it in my core being, that is keeping us like spiritually inebriated.
I think you're right on that. Yeah. Well, it's all toxic, no doubt. We're almost out of time in the illusion of space-time, I must say. Hey, I'm glad you joined us, Mr. Rowe.
Well, thank you. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Thank you very much. And let everybody know how to listen to both of your shows, since we're going to wrap this up in a few minutes here. So whoever wants to go first.
Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, sure. And, Ro, I'd love to have you come on the show and do a deep dive into Tartaria with you sometime.
Yeah, sure. Sure thing.
Cool. That'd be great. Okay. Yeah, well, you know, my main show is Saturdays, 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A, Operation Scorpio. Check it out. We got some good stuff sometimes.
All the time.
And I'm on Mondays and Tuesdays, 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific time on Studio A, and then also on Thursdays, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific time on Studio B.
Wonderful. It's been a long time since I've talked to you, Mr. Rosen, so I think it was it was a while ago. But, yeah, thank you for joining us. And, everybody, I want to thank you all for tuning in. Stay tuned for Shiny Side Out with David Dunger and Mecki coming up next to Sunny On to the Night from Down Under with her fantastic show. We will be discussing Ancient Aliens Part 3. That's perfect. So make sure you tune in for that one. And we're going to wrap this up in just a few minutes. And I want to ask you, Mr. Rowe, your impression of any potential nuclear exchange?
You know, it's hard to say. Because I want to say no, I don't think so. But I can't say I haven't thought about it because, yeah, you know, it just depends on how crazy and how these people are. And if this whole reset includes that, I want to say no. I don't think we're going to have a nuclear exchange. Even if they actually wanted us to, I just feel something in my gut that tells me that's not going to be allowed to happen. And I don't know how. I don't know. I'm not saying aliens are going to intervene or it's just not going to happen. That's just all. I don't know. I just.
Well, it's always good to get everybody's impression. And another thing I was looking at is, obviously electronic cyber warfare. Possibility of grids going down, I don't know, but it seems like we are having some glitches already.
Yeah, that's a limit. I think that's a possibility that we could see a limited interruption in internet and electricity. Not for very long, but it could be for a few days. I think that could actually happen.
Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts there, Dave?
Well, I'm kind of on the same page as Ro on that. I just don't think nuclear war will be allowed to happen. And the exact mechanism by which that stopped, I don't know. But I don't think it's in the cards. I really don't for a variety of reasons. But I want to thank you for having me on. It was an excellent show. And, Ro, great talking to you. It's been a while since we talked, too.
Yeah, I want to thank you for jumping on board, both of you. It's been a wonderful show. And also, let Giuseppe know anytime you want to hop on. You guys are always welcome to join me on Raven Stars Witching Hour. And you too, Mr. Ro.
Yes. Time. Where I'm at.
Yeah, well, you're hard to track down. No, I'm just kidding. I know you guys are on a round table now and then, right?
We do Wednesday nights sometimes and then Friday nights also. And, yeah, sometimes they go all night. So
four hours, right?
Yeah, you can go. Yeah.
That's a long time.
Sometimes more, but, yeah.
Keep everybody up all night. Well, that's good. Give them something to listen to that's not propaganda, right?
There you go.
Yeah, very good. All right. I don't know if I hear the music or not.
Got about 20 seconds before the music will start.
Cool. All right. The shadow knows. That's you, Mr. Rowe. Well, thank you again, gentlemen. Always a pleasure to talk with both of you, especially you, Dave. This was a great show. And Mr. Rowe, thanks for hopping in. I appreciate you.
Sure thing. All right.
Yeah. Lars, we'll have you back on the show again sometime soon. We'll be in touch. Okay. That'll be fun.
Anytime. Happy to do so.
Right on.
All right, everybody, ciao, ciao. We're sailing on out. Good night. Have a wonderful weekend. Take care, everybody. I think that's music. Yep. Night, everybody.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. And unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the...